Like to call the meeting to order. It's a June services meeting. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Larry and Terminelli seconds. All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Approval of minutes. We have a motion to approve the May 13th, 2019 minutes. Lerita Kern has made the motion, seconded by Ms. Arquette. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The thing we're going to do here first is let you know that Dave Haggard has been excused for the evening session, so he won't be with us. I expect Henry Leader will be here, but when he does get here, he probably has to leave a little early, so he should be here any minute. On with resolutions. We have a resolution modifying the 2019 budget for social services for improvements to technology and building accessibility. Do I have a motion? Mr. Burke, second. Second by Rita Kern.
I think so.
What's that?
That's the last.
Sorry about that. I got that. I might as well put that right in the old file. Now let's start all over again. We did get the first part about the June services meeting correct. I at least had that right. Now let's get to the updated one. That was last month's. The first resolution is Dana McGuire, Public Health, is going to be talking to us about the resolution that we need a motion on, and it's authorizing the chair to sign contracts for preschool special education transportation services. So we have a motion. Rita Kern, seconded by Mr. Larry Denison.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So this is a resolution to have a contract for some of the additional transportation that we may need for the preschool program. So we have a contract with First Student, but sometimes there's like a one-off where there's a student who is moved and we need to try to find transportation for them. So this is just asking for a contract should we need to make something with another transportation company, should First Student not be able to provide it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Second resolution is authorizing the chair to sign a contract with marketing, research, and community organizations for services associated with lead poison prevention and awareness and education. Need a motion. Motion by Mr. Akers, second by Mr. Fay. Dana, go ahead.
Okay. So this is for the lead grant that we had through HUD, and we work with the planning office. Our portion of it is just over $100,000. And so to do the outreach and the education that we'd like to do, we're going to need to sign contracts with newspapers, with billboard companies. And so we're asking to be able to just to do this as the grant kind of moves forward.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next resolution, authorization to fill a senior account clerk position in public health. And need a motion. Ms. Arquette, second by Mr. Forsyth.
We had a retirement about a week ago, so this is just to ask if we can refill this. This position helps with the payroll, pays the bills for the EI services, for all of the clinics that we have, and supports the work that we do in the department.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. An Another resolution authorizing the chair to sign an amendment to the contract with Fort Drum Regional Healthcare Planning Organization for opioid epidemic grant work. Ms. Terminelli makes the motion, and Ms. Kern seconds it.
So this is just to add to the work that the group is already doing. So this is the subcontractor that we have for the grant, and I have asked them to do some work. We're making some of the materials that go out to the community just to help us kind of bring them to like a higher level. And so this is to add to the work that they're currently doing. This will not add for like an additional cost. We do have the money to cover it like within the grant.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And while I'm up here, can I mention one thing?
Yes, you can.
So I did put a flyer out. So the Narcan training that will be hosted by all of the libraries is on your desks. I did send it out on Friday, and there was a typo in the date. So I will resend it to you again, but this is a hard copy. So if you could please try to pass it to your areas, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a site agreement with the Potsdam Housing Authority for usage of the kitchen facilities by the Potsdam Nutrition Center at Midtown Apartments. And Ms. Terminelli makes a motion, and seconded by Rita Kern. And go ahead.
Okay. So this is an authorization basically to sign a site agreement. It's come to our attention in auditing our books that we did not have a formal agreement with the Potsdam site. There is currently no rental fee associated. It's a multiple use building, but we need to rectify that in order to have everything correct for our books.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next resolution is authorizing the chair to sign a contract with Fidelis Care to allow the Office of the Aging to become a service provider of home-delivered meals. Motion by Rita Kern, seconded by Ms. Arquette.
Okay, so these next two resolutions are actually quite similar. This just will be two separate contracts with our managed long-term care organizations. So what it is clients that are involved in their programs, they are willing to pay us for their meals, so they're at a negotiated rate. So we would like to sign a contract with them as an additional source of revenue. Currently, we're looking at maybe 10 to 20 clients with each. But I think it could be something that could build over time as they get more clients into their programs and allow us an additional source of revenue.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We have another resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with Nascentia Health Options to allow the office the aging become a service provider of home-delivered meals. Need a motion. Rita Kern, Larry, Denisha seconds it.
So this, again, is that same resolution. It's just with Nascentia Health, which is the other managed long-term care organization, again, allowing us to become a provider of home-delivered meals for their clients.
Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Carried. We have another resolution authorizing to fill a nutrition services aide position in the Office for the Aging. Rita Kern, Larry Denisha seconds.
Okay. So this position is vacant right now due to a promotion of a staff member who works at the Governor site to an assistant to the supervisor of the site. So we would like to refill his position. This is at our Governor site, which again we have discussed in the past is one of our busiest sites that we have. As well as I noted in the vacancy committee, and I think it's important to note here as well, we have 17 part-time nutrition staff, and I always come in and I tell you which site that they're going to be based out of, but that can change at any given day. They're very fluid staff members in terms of, you know, we really make sure that we're meeting the needs of each site due to, you know, staff being out, sicknesses, vacations, and things like that. So this position will be based in Governor, but they will be a floater to all of our sites to ensure that we can keep our sites open at all times.
Any discussion? Yes, Larry.
Andre, could you give us just a best guess as to where Governor, how it's grown since it started?
Sure. I think we started, you know, you start really small, maybe with about 5 clients eating congregate to they serve right now anywhere between 45 and 60 a day. As well as it has our largest home-delivered meal client base out of that area. We're at capacity and actually have a waiting list again in the Governor area.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
One more thing, if
yes,
I may.
Yes, go ahead.
I would just like to remind you all, our senior picnic will be Friday, July 12th at the Governor Community Center. From 9 to 2:30, so if you're available that day and you'd like to come join us, we're happy to help you. Free bingo at 10 o'clock. Lunch is served at noon. We're always looking for people to help serve. And then there's going to be entertainment from 1 to 2:30 by Marty Robinson. So if you're around that day, we're calling for sunshine, so we put in an order. So hopefully you will join us that day. July 12th, Friday, July 12th from 9 to 2:30.
Jim.
How long is the waiting list?
Currently there are 30 people on the wait. Currently there are 30 people on the wait list. It's a combined total. Governor has 12.
And is that 30 countywide?
Yes.
Any more discussion? Okay. Authorization to create and fill a casual chemical dependency counselor position in the community services. Rita Kern, Mr. Perkins, seconds.
All right, this is what is called a casual position, which is what I would call a per diem position. The union contract allows us to hire somebody for up to 30 days a year as a casual employee. We have a person now who's providing jail services and has for years who is retiring. That person would like to come back and do the jail piece one day a week, continue in that position. That position previously or historically was at the cost of the county. We did receive the state aid money from OASIS for jail-based services, and they've agreed to allow us to use those monies for the remainder of the year to pay for this position, so that'll save on cost. We're also short clinicians, chemical dependency counselors, and we would like this same person to provide an additional day of services, again temporarily, while we continue to go through the hiring process. That person doing this would predominantly be doing assessments, which are quite lengthy and somewhat time consuming. But it would also then help in decreasing waiting lists. So this would give us about a 4-month reprieve until we regroup and are able to employ our staff.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Can I just give a quick update?
Yes, go ahead.
In terms of our provider situation, again, we do have a full-time nurse practitioner that's on board and doing well. We're still working with SUNY Upstate to provide telepsychiatry services. That's the go-live date for July 1st. That is a Dr. Lucas, who is board certified both in adult and children, who will be giving us one day a week. And we've also moved into a contract with a locum tenens agency to provide MAT services 2 days a week, and we're going through the credentialing process for that.
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you.
On to another resolution authorizing to fill the secretary one position in the Department of Social Services. Mr. Burke and Ms. Arquette, seconds. Go ahead. Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. So this first proposed resolution is for a position that is open because, or will be open because of a retirement that's taking place on June 28th. And is a key position for the department. It's the secretary for the head social welfare examiner and is involved with the programs from temporary assistance to the supplemental nutrition assistance program to the disabled client assistance program, the investigations unit, the home energy assistance program. And it's important to make sure that we have a person in there in order to complete the reports timely and monitor information that's used in making sure that the clients are receiving the benefits timely.
Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Another resolution authorizing to fill a senior clerk position in the Department of Social Services. And Rita Kern and Ms. Terminelli seconds it.
This is also a position that's being vacated because of retirement. It is a position that's part of the Medicaid unit and is working specifically with recipients of supplemental security income. This is a position which helps make sure that they're receiving the Medicaid benefits and also helping sometimes people with significant disabilities with the accessing of medications and getting replacement cards and such things.
Any discussion? Yes, Draker.
Chris, do you have somebody in mind that's working up, or is this going to be a completely, you're looking for somebody, some new blood?
Yeah, I'm not aware of anyone that we have in mind specifically for this position. There is a list, and we'll select from that the best candidate.
They would need a certain skill set.
It is true. We have had great success in the past with people who have the kind of empathy and ability to communicate along with the technical skills. But you're right. We want to make sure we have the right person in that,
okay,
that role.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Welcome. Ruth, as we all know, is in Washington, so she will not be giving her county administrator's report tonight. Let's see. We do have committee reports. Anything from the Board of Health about CDP Board of Directors? Community Services Board? Office of Aging Advisory Board. Leary? Thank you, Larry. Youth Advisory Board? One more time? Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Any old or new business? The the executive session that we're going to have, we can postpone when we do the operations committee meeting, or meeting right after this. So I think that's about it. Anyone? Let's make a motion to adjourn, seconded by, it was made by Jim and seconded by Mr. Forsythe. Carried? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Henry's still going to leave early if he ever gets here.
The June Operations Committee meeting to order, please. We get a motion to approve the agenda. Mr. Akers and Ms. Terminelli, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Motion to approve the minutes of the May 13th meeting. Mr. Sheridan and Mr. Burke, all those in favor? Opposed? Carried. The first thing we have on the agenda is a presentation regarding the St. Lawrence County Emergency, Animal Emergency Response Plan. Jonathan? And Ms. Smith.
So here to talk about the plan is Jessica Smith. She's the one heading the CART plan. Now, so I'll let her talk a little bit about that.
So I'm Jessica Shaleri Smith. Some of you know me. I've presented on the CART before. I'm the New York State veterinarian from the Department of Agriculture and Markets. I cover St. Lawrence County and then a couple of our adjoining counties. Our department is looking to facilitate all the counties at creating their county animal response team. Article 26B of Ag and Markets Law actually tasks all the counties in New York State to create their own emergency plan to account for animals in the event of an emergency, because there is the public health concern that people are less likely to evacuate in an emergency if they don't know what they can do with their pets. There's a small group of us, so it's people from my department, New York State Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, the Red Cross, Cooperative Extension, Soil and Water, Public Health, our county emergency manager and deputy emergency manager, and I feel like I'm forgetting someone. I probably am, and I apologize to whoever I forgot. And we've been meeting and we've been going through the plan that actually St. Lawrence County already had in place and making sure that the plan was realistic for what this county could achieve and also for what this county may need in the event of an emergency. In kind of going through some documents, Mike LaCire, when he was in his position, reached out to Steve Button, and Steve recommended that we actually pass a resolution creating, formalizing our group's involvement in CART as kind of a planning or steering committee, and so that we could then execute our plan and kind of continuing to take those next steps that our group needs to do in order to actually have the key pieces in place should an emergency occur. We'd like to start recruiting and training volunteers. Once volunteers get a baseline level of training, New York State, through our department, actually assumes the liability and will cover them under workman's comp in the event of they're volunteering for CART in a disaster. So we really want to be able to get that in place because it removes a lot of liability from the county, because we don't want people to just go and start helping on their own. We would like those people to be trained and covered under those things should they be involved in a response. We'd also really like to establish some potential sheltering locations that we can kind of have in our back pocket in the event of an emergency, should a Red Cross shelter not be able to co-shelter animals and people. And then also start working on trying to apply for maybe some grant funding in order to have some supplies for a shelter should we activate one. And then certainly we plan to take large animals into consideration, and we'll work on a plan also for large animals that, in the unlikely event that during a disaster people want to evacuate their horses or sheep or goats, we understand that it's probably unfeasible, very difficult to find a sheltering option for dairy cattle on a large scale in this county, given the number we have in this county. But we'd like, if someone really needed, you know, in the event of a wildfire where you are having more than just a handful of animals that need to be evacuated, that we can kind of have something at least as a backup plan to start us off to make the emergency response smoother. So there's a resolution in your packets along with some or most of our emergency plan, which is not formal. We certainly want to get our resolution passed, and then we're gonna kind of continue to put the pieces in place to formalize our CART emergency plan, and then we certainly will have the plan go to the legislature for approval. But we're hoping that you will take our resolution to make our little group official. If there are any questions, I'm certainly happy to answer them. Did I miss anything? Okay.
Does anyone have any questions regarding the response plan? No, there being none.
Okay.
Thank you.
There we go. Thanks.
Okay, next on the agenda, Jonathan, I'm assuming you're going to be bringing this forward for Keith.
Yes.
Okay. It's the authorization, authorizing the creation of a county animal response team and creation of a plan for emergency, or excuse me, animal emergencies. Mr. Akers and Mr. Burke. It's all yours.
Okay. So as Jess said, we're hoping that we can authorize the creation of the team and to create a plan as well.
Comments, questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Jonathan. The next one up is a resolution modifying the 2019 budget for the Office of Emergency Services for fiscal year 17. Ms. Arquette and Ms. Curran.
So we were awarded a grant in total of $937,148, and we budgeted that appropriately when we awarded the grant, but we found that we needed more money in consulting. So we're requesting that we move $74,000 out of equipment and move that into consulting.
Questions, comments? There being none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Jonathan. And okay. Next thing we have is from our planning department is a resolution, excuse me, it's not a resolution, it's just a discussion regarding the St. Lawrence County Public Transportation. Frank?
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess we'll just turn it right over to Frank. He's going to give you a quick overview of what we are doing in transportation and planning. I know you've seen a lot of piecemeal resolutions over the last few months, and so we thought we'd bring in Frank, who's the mobility manager for the county, and he can give a quick overview of everything, and then there's a resolution we'll talk to you after that.
Thank you all very much. So just a little recap of 2018. For people that aren't familiar with the system, the county's bus system operates 19 routes. Most of the county routes run Monday through Friday, while four of the routes offer weekly or biweekly service. Last year for 2018, the county's bus system provided 50,922 one-way trips to riders, up 75% from previous year. The buses travel, because of the size of the county, the landmass size, 583,000 miles. One of the other things we did in 2018 is we rebranded. I found out in talking to people that people are getting confused between the ARC buses and the public transit buses. So if you notice, the public transit buses are now in green, white buses, green lettering up the top that say St. Lawrence County Public Transit. All the bus drivers have shirts that say St. Lawrence County Public Transit on it, and have lanyards with their picture on it that say St. Lawrence County Public Transit. The new program that you heard about at one of my previous talks, First Mile, Last Mile, was implemented on a soft opening. We started the Ogdensburg Intracity Shuttle. And in case you didn't know, 80% of the funding for public transit comes from the federal government, 10% from the state, and 10% is covered by the ARC for the public transit side, and Volunteer Transportation Center for the mobility management side. I'll just click it. Okay. So here's some stats for 2018. I explained to you the ridership, what it was in 2017 to 2018. First mile, last mile, in our soft opening, 56% of the people that used it were for employment, 21% are for education. I did look at this week of what the numbers are like for 2019, and employment is up to 60% of the people that are using first mile, last mile for this program. For the Ogdensburg shuttle, we didn't have it in existence in 2017. But in 2018, for 10 months, from April to December, we had 2,631 rides, average of 263 people per month. So what do you have to look forward to for 2019? Before you, we'll get to this in a minute, Clarkson University and SUNY Canton are on board to making public routes. The College Connector will start to develop between SUNY Potsdam, Clarkson, and SUNY Canton. We'll begin discussions with St. Lawrence University in the next several months to get them on board with this. Hopefully the Messina shuttle in late fall, early winter, will be started. First mile, last mile program will continue. We'll be getting two new 28 passenger buses. Will be ordered. We'll get them in a year from the grant. The new grant, even though it's halfway through 2019, New York State is a little behind. So hopefully that will be coming out, I'm told, September. So it's probably going to be October or November. And we'll submit it for 2019 and 2020. We'll be opening up RFPs in a couple weeks. All the public transportation buses will have free Wi-Fi on for passengers. And you'll notice with the addition of Clarkson, the Messina shuttle, and SUNY Canton, that ridership will increase. So here's some quick stats for you to take a look at. Public transit, 2018, about 51,000 miles. The projection is 60,000 riders for 2019, and we'll be up to 75,000 riders by 2020. First mile, last mile started off in a soft opening at 885 units. A unit is defined as a one-way trip. This year we're on target to reach 4,000 units for the first mile, last mile program, and we'll increase, projections are for 2020, to 4,800.
for the Ogdensburg Shuttle. Gave you the stats for 2018. You'll see an increase in 2019. We're on target to hit 3,800 units. And then the projection for 2020 will be up to 4,200 units. And I'm gonna leave you with this. We did a bunch of filming. We're using Forevermore Studios in Messina, New York. We're creating a docu-series on public transportation and the people that ride the bus to tell their story. A little different than what you see in ads. So we're creating little segments to use on social media, and then we're going to create it into one huge docu-series that we plan on sending to New York State DOT and all of that. So I'm not even going to set this up. I'm just going to let you watch it. Please keep in mind, it is a very rough draft. There is a typo in it. I caught it. But we'll be changing a few things around, but I think you'll get the message from this. Now we'll hope it works.
My name is Jasmine Ashley, and I'm from Ogdensburg, New York. I go to SUNY Canton and for the MedSec program. It's like, this is my mom's word, so she can't do any sports or come back and forth to pick me up to bring me to school, you know, because she was with me. I started using the bus back in August of 2018 till now. I'm actually going to start. I'm going to be using the bus for a few more years until I actually get a vehicle. Because I don't have my license yet, and I'm still working on that. And also getting a car, saving up and everything like that, too. So. Because it saves walking, basically, and it's faster. And it actually saves the trip from being in the cold all the time. I mainly have Alan a lot, for he's just my main driver. I do have some times, but it's mainly just him. So when I come into the vehicle, like he'll tell me that if he's going to be my driver for the next day or if he has me both ways. When I'm on the bus, I just kick back, relax, just basically like a cool down, and I listen to music or I'll have a conversation with some of the bus drivers. I would say that the bus is meant for everyone, not for poor, not for rich, for everybody that needs transportation. If you don't feel like taking your own car and you want to, instead of like taking a taxi or whatever, it's affordable. And all you gotta do is tell them where you're going, and they never say no, they can't take you there. I actually just found out that one of my uncles had taken the bus. I have had a couple of my family members take the bus. If first mile, last mile, and public transit did not exist, I would be in a very big rut. You know, I wouldn't have any way of transportation at all. I would have no way of getting to school and having my education that I want or need. It would be very frustrating and difficult to have my friends to rely on or my family to rely on, because, you know, they all have their own lives as well. So I'm very thankful that those two things, first mile, not last mile, and public transit exist.
There we go. That's the presentation. I'd be happy to open it up to questions.
Mr. Akers.
Bringing them to the actual bus stop, and then the bus picks them up and takes them to where they need to go. $2 each way. And if you buy 30 ride pass, 45 ride pass, it's a deeper discount.
Any other questions? Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's move into the resolution. Establishing new public bus routes to service Clarkson University, SUNY Canton, SUNY Potsdam, and surrounding areas, and authorizing the chair to sign contracts with each university. Mr. Akers and Mr. Forsythe.
Along with the resolution here are the actual bus schedules, just for your information. So I guess
There is an existing one from SUNY Potsdam. You can see that one's 2018-2019. That's going to be updated. And then the SUNY Canton and the Clarkson schedule are brand new schedules. This is a new program, as Frank mentioned, and it's really intended to allow individuals to get to the campuses, and as well as the public, for students to use it, as well as the public to get to and from campuses. People employed there can use the public transit, as well as students. So the intent is just to continue to grow the bus system, and we think this is a great step forward to have access to three of the schools in St. Lawrence County.
Anyone have any comments? Mr. Reagan.
The public transportation in St. Lawrence County has been attempted in various states since the 70s, and this by far is the most comprehensive program that has ever been offered, and by connecting with the colleges, it's a huge step forward, and I just want to thank the Frank and the folks involved who worked very hard to bring this moment together. I remember during the early planning meetings a couple years ago, trying to bring all the players to the table to make this happen, and a lot of work has gone into this moment, so thank you for what you guys are accomplishing.
Mr. Akers.
Yeah. Congratulations, Frank. It's a difficult task. It's very comprehensive. What if the federal money's run out? What you said was 80%?
80%. 80% is the federal.
Which is how much money is that?
Now you're making me think. Let's see. 80% of 800,000 would be. Thank you. 640,000. Yeah. I don't foresee, I could sit here and say federal money's never gonna run out. Reality is they can pull the plug at any time. When we know that that's gonna happen, we're just gonna have to look at other options that'll be out there. I don't foresee to see that happen in my lifetime. I hope I'm right on that, but.
You sound like
my
family.
Yeah.
I hate to see that.
Yeah.
Well, I know when I first got on the board,
yeah, so you're getting, it's not costing local taxpayers any money. All the funding's coming through the federal, the state, and the local is covered by the ARC and Volunteer Transportation Center. And then also you've seen the billboards on the sides of the buses. So we created a new revenue stream to help get up to that $820,000. And then there's gonna be another opportunity when this grant comes out to get an additional $200,000 funding to help push this employment side of people taking transportation for employment even further.
So in your documentary there, Alan, the driver, he's paid by the mile?
He's reimbursed at 58 cents a mile.
Okay. And that may be his only trip, by the way, back, or is somebody else? Or?
So the Volunteer Transportation Center has over 100 volunteer drivers in the county, and there's three sides to the volunteer transportation side. The first side is they handle Medicaid rides. Their second is their charity side. And then the third is the first mile, last mile piece. So these people are only being reimbursed mileage at the current IRS rate. They're not getting an hourly salary, anything like that. The other thing to note is the drivers are alcohol and drug tested, and they attend workshops, and their vehicles inspected.
So do those drivers participate in all three?
Correct.
They do.
All three.
All three, so nobody is just one or the other then?
Well, it depends on who's open that day.
Okay.
One person one day might be taking all the Medicaid rides depending on their route. What volunteer transportation does is they put the closest driver to the closest client so that it's more efficient and more sustainable.
Well, on those drivers, their schedule's preset maybe 2 weeks in advance. I mean, they aren't getting a call that morning, are they?
No, they try not to. There might be an occasional if something opens up and they get a last minute call. They'll look at the schedule and say, okay, this driver's open here. Let's call them, see if they want to take a trip. Most drivers, they get 2 days advance notice on their trips.
Any other comments? I would have one. You know, it's most of us remember that years ago, public transportation in St. Lawrence County was standing on the side of the road and doing this. And I think it's impressive that 60% of the folks are using the bus service for employment.
That's for first mile, last mile program only.
Yeah. Yep. But that's impressive. And that, you know, they get, it's allowing students to go to college, whereas otherwise they may not have the opportunity. And I think the other thing that's important, expanding it to Clarkson, to New Potsdam, it's also going to give students an opportunity to get back to campus safely.
Great.
So, good job.
Thank you.
All those in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Opposed?
Carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sheriff Wells.
Yep.
The resolution modifying the 2019 budget for the Sheriff's Office to accept controlled disbursement funding from the New York State Office of the Attorney General. Mr. Forsythe and Mr. Sheridan.
This is money coming back to us through the legal process of one of our long-term investigations, not the last immediate one, but the investigation before that. So this is gravy. This is money, what you would have heard is gravy train money that's starting to come back through. And there'll be some more to follow it, not a huge amount, but there'll be more to follow this. And this is going to be put in a rollover account so that we can use it towards technical equipment is what the plan is for the next sheriff to be able to utilize that way if we don't utilize it this year.
Comments, questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And the next one is resolution modifying the 2019 budget for the Sheriff's Office to accept funding from the county surplus auction to purchase necessary equipment. Ms. Curran and Mr. Perkins.
This is normally vehicle-related equipment. And what we've been utilizing some of the money from the past ones that you've seen here is we've been updating all of the in-car computers and into meeting the Microsoft new updates and everything else that goes with it, same as you've been setting aside money for doing the regular computers and office settings. And it's paying towards updates and the amount of space on those and some other things. So it's all been something in a car or related to a car is the way that money's been utilized from the past ones you've seen. And this is just on occasion here things go to sale. I think this is probably like the third time we've done this already this year maybe. So.
Questions, comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you. The jail population when I came over here is at 137, and that's still including quite a few females. But you know, it went through. I think we went through the weekend at 138, 139, somewhere in that neighborhood. So it's about holding steady to about what you expect, along with you know all the different pieces that go with it. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that reached out, called, messaged, texted, and emailed or came in, you know, for my father's wake and funeral. It's much appreciated by the family and me, so thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it. Anything further? Any questions for me?
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate it.
have a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the New York State Defenders Association for the Public Defender Case Management System. Mr. Minnelli and Ms. Curran.
This is to extend our contract each year. My office and the Public Defender's Office, we use this case management system to enter our client and case information. Everything regarding our family court, criminal court, case, we can print case reports, caseload information, memos on cases, letters, etc. So it's important that we renew this contract and pay NYSDA. This is the software that we chose several years ago for our county to use, and I'm just asking that it get approved.
Any questions for Amy? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. First one in front of us is a resolution proclaiming July 21 through 27, 2019 as Probation, Parole, and Community Supervision Week. Mr. Burke and Mr. Minnelli.
This week is to honor the men and women of Probation, Parole, and Community Service Agencies for the hard work that they do to ensure the safety of the community. And the work they do to rehabilitate offenders and try to get them back on the straight and narrow. For those of you that are new to the board, during this week we do a community project, a community service type project. In the past we've painted Pine Street Arena, Boys and Girls Club in Ogdensburg, church here locally. We've done the walking trail in Ogdensburg, spread mulch for the Messina School District. So we've done a lot of different things. This year we're looking at possibly doing something for the Humane Societies in the county, maybe doing some cleanup for them and walking dogs or whatever they need done. So we also take a day and we do a department picnic at a local park. It gets us all out of the office. We spend about an hour, hour and a half. We have a cookout and just spend some time together outside of work. So this is a yearly thing we do. It's statewide.
Cool. Questions? Comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The next one is a resolution authorizing the chair to sign the Alternatives to Incarceration Service Plan contract. Ms. Arquette, Ms. Curran.
So this is a yearly grant, I guess you'd call it, from the state. We've had it for probably at least 15-20 years. It started off a lot more than this, but it's down to about $28,000. It funds our pretrial program right now. It covers a third of the salary for the supervisor to that program. It did remain the same from last year. My concern with this grant is this may be the last year based on the cashless bail that's coming out. I'm not sure what's going to happen. This is a milestones-based program. You have to hit certain goals, it's interviews, screens released to our program. And now with all these appearance tickets that are gonna be given out and the least restrictive means that the state is pushing is to release everybody on their own recognizance. So I don't think we'll be able to hit these milestones anymore, so unless they change the structure of the grant, this may be the last year we have it. So I just wanted to warn you that we may take a $28,000 hit next year.
Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And the last one is a resolution granting authorization to abolish an account clerk typist position and create and fill an account clerk position in the probation department. Mr. Arquette, Mr. Perkins.
So this is one of the most important behind the scenes positions probably in our department. This
So number one, we're taking the account clerk typist and we're just reducing it to an account clerk. Basically, everybody's position now includes typing based on the use of computers. So it saved about $900, reducing it, nothing major. But this is one of the most important positions. It deals with all our restitution monies coming in, making sure it was collected properly, the distribution of it back to the clients or to the victims or clients, depending on how the court ordered that it be collected. It's our restitution fees, our supervision fees, and our drug testing fees. And basically, I wanted to start early. She doesn't retire until August, but I want somebody in place for the day she goes, because if we start falling behind on this stuff, it gets to be very chaotic. And this woman's done this job for over 30 years that's leaving it. So it's kind of an old, chaotic system. It's all book and pencil almost, not computerized to the extent we want. So when this new person comes on, we're going to get it all computerized. We do have everything backed up on computer now. We have started doing that the last few years, but there's programs out there that will hopefully make this safer. I mean, if we lose one of these books now, we could lose a lot of accounts. So this new person coming in, it's urgent that we fill it immediately, just based on the amount of money that she works with every day.
Questions? Being none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks, Tim. The next resolution we have in front of us is a resolution granting authorization to fill a human resource technician position in the human resources. Mr. Perkins and Ms. Curran.
This position will become vacant in July due to a promotion. This position is needed in order to provide adequate civil service and HR services, including payroll certification, exam processing, which includes monitoring exams on Saturdays, position classifications, 426 processing, application reviews, for approximately 30 outside agencies and 12 internal departments of St. Lawrence County, as well as benefit administrations and ACA reporting, orientation, contract interpretation.
Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And the next one is a resolution granting authorization to fill a human resource assistant position in human resources. Mr. Akers and Mr. Arquette.
So we have one human resource assistant. It's the position right under mine. They do about 70% of their job is allocated to civil service responsibilities, like payroll certifications, exam planning, position classifications. Those types of things take quite a bit of time. They do, along with all the other HR activities as well. And this person is the person in this position is actually retiring in July. And they've been there for 30 years, so they have a lot we're gonna miss.
Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Danny. Good evening, James. Have a resolution granting authorization to fill an assistant public defender position in the office of the public defender. Ms. Curran and Mr. Burke.
This is a position to fill an assistant public defender position. It's actually my former position. They'll be predominantly responsible for family court duties, hopefully less than the caseload that we currently have. My transition to public defender left a hole there. We had two people vacate at the end of last year, and with Mr. Ballin coming back in, that would fill a predominantly criminal role, so we're a little short handed there, but this position already exists.
Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And the second one is resolution granting authorization to fill a position of keyboard specialist in the Office of the Public Defender. Mr. Arquette and Mr. Sheridan.
This is looking for authorization to fill a keyboard specialist position. This position is vacant due to a promotion. Our prior keyboard went up to the legal secretary position, and this position will help just generally with opening files, making sure we have all our court appearances on the calendar, and hopefully lessen the load of our legal secretary so they can help the attorneys more. So hopefully everyone will have a little bit less work, more equally distributed.
Questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, James. On to committee reports. Ag and Farmland Protection Board. I have nothing to report. Alternatives to Incarceration Board. Board of Trustees for Supreme Court Library. It is Mr. Haggard. Okay. Emergency Medical Services Advisory Board. Nothing exciting. Okay. Does anyone have any questions? Ms. Curran on the I have a question. I was up in Star Lake Saturday. They had a health fair, and the hospital was there, and the ambulance and fire service, and Samaritan was there. Anyway, the question came up regarding, and I know we tried to do it with the fire advisory board, with getting some training out into some of the communities. And a question came up if it would be possible, instead of folks that were interested in getting into the emergency medical services field, if there could be some training offered elsewhere other than Canton. I know we did it with the, we did some fire training up in Star Lake, so that we could catch folks from Vine, Cranberry, DeGrasse. The hospital, the Clifton Vine Hospital, is willing to work with the Emergency Services Board. Well, maybe we can talk offline. Okay, thank you. Environmental Management Council. Fire Advisory Board. The we had a fire advisory. There were some representatives from the fire advisory board met on Thursday, Thursday, May 30th, with a potential candidate for the. I just want to extend the appreciation of the fire advisory board to chair of the search committee and to Chairman Lightfoot for extending the invitation to some of the folks from the fire advisory board. They appreciated it. Inter-County Legislative Committee.
My last meeting with Inter-County was on May 16th. That was in Essex County. And then at that time, I presented a resolution for New York State to redesignate EMS services from transportation to essential services. And that did pass. Our next meeting is in Washington County, June 27th.
Thank you. Jury board.
Did not meet.
And San Luis County Planning.
No report.
Okay. That is the end of the committee reports. Old and new business. Mr. Button.
Thank you. Good evening. This is a resolution that would authorize the chair to exercise or execute an agreement with the Department of Environmental Conservation regarding five sites located throughout the county. As the board is aware, over the course of the past few years, we've started bringing many of these to you in a faster fashion with more properties per year. It's that time of the year where we're able to get into the ground and start checking and cleaning. In fact, these five properties that you have, they're actually six properties, but five property owners. We already have the 10-day letters out from the DEC. The DEC is already on site and already actually excavating contaminants out of the locations. As you'll note, the five properties are somewhat scattered. We have a property in Hammond. We have a property in Hopkinton. We have a property in Fowler. We have a property in Pierpont, and we have a property in Brazier. This is the first of what I am sure will be at least three resolutions this summer, potentially four, as we continue to move forward to target these properties. As the resolution notes, upon cleanup, the property will go into our auction, and we will split the proceeds with the DEC, but the DEC routinely spends way more money, and the oil spill fund routinely spends way more money on cleanup than we ever see and are able to share with them as a part of these agreements. This is just a great opportunity to get properties back to productive use in St. Lawrence County.
Thank you. I was going to say, let me turn the clock back. And a second, Mr. Forsythe.
Okay.
Any questions for Mr. Button? You know, there aren't any. I would like to say thank you for all the work. I know some of the municipalities in my district have been direct beneficiaries of this. It makes a huge difference.
Well, if everything goes well this year, at least 15 communities will be beneficiaries.
Is DEC actually on site to these five properties now?
Not right now. There are two here that they're currently on site on. There are four that they have already cleaned up, even though there are only five listed owners there. If you'll notice, the Russell site actually has two spill numbers associated with it. It was just two different tax map ID numbers.
Okay.
But they're actually on site in two of those locations. If you'd like, I can explain where our next targets are in executive session. I'd be more than happy to.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Button? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you, Steve. Does anyone have any additional old business? Any new business? There being none, do we have a need for executive session?
We do, for negotiations, litigation, personnel, to discuss the employment of a specific individual, and appointments.
Okay. Could I get a motion? Mr. Forsyth and Mr. Fay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're into executive session.